Hi there, it's a great pleasure to welcome you back at this tasting. And I just received a parcel of six different Aigri Bicorvea. So this is kind of a semi-sponsored tasting and podcast. And I lined them up in no particular order. But I'm always curious to find if there's a certain wine style which is kind of famous and well known. And let's be honest, I mean, in Hungary, apart from Tokaj Osso in particular, the most famous red internationally is the Aigri Bicorvea. It's been in the German market, sometimes called the Stierblut, right? And Bull's Blood, an English-speaking market, and so on and so on. But let's just, for the sake of simplicity, use the Hungarian name Aigri Bicorvea. I hate to translate those things, right? I mean, you wouldn't do it with other wine styles throughout the world either. So Aigri Bicorvea, as I told you, the name suggests, you know, Bull's Blood, and there are many different legends how this name actually came across, how people started to use this name. One of those legends is actually that going back to the 16th century, when Suleiman II was attacking the castle of Eger with a massive army of Ottoman people, and the Hungarian defenders were so kind of really vigorous and vivid, despite the sheer outnumbered capacity against the Ottomans. You know, there just were too many of them and so little defenders within the castle and in the township. So some people thought there must be, and that the bravery of the Hungarians must be, you know, that we're drinking the blood of the bull, basically, you know, reflecting that kind of passion and stronghold against against overpowering Ottoman army. Some people also reckon that the story says, you know, that when the Ottomans drank wine, they were kind of saying, oh no, we're not drinking wine, we're drinking the blood of the bull, you know, just to get away with those things. There are many, many different legends, many different stories, and we all love a good story, we all love a legend. But the matter of fact is that Bicorvea was just introduced much later. The red wine was introduced much later in the area. So these are might be always legends. And of course, today what we actually also tasting are these Bicorveas in a very particular bottle shape, if you want. I mean, they all have the same shape. I'll show you this later along the pictures. But they all have this kind of particular shape, a long forgotten shape, you know, from the 1900s, as they say. And they all have the word of Eger, meaning the place, the town, the appellation, which is also the wine district and the PDO by itself. And then above it, it says 1552, reflecting to that very particular date in history when the army of the Ottoman kingdom was attacking the Hungarians, in particular István Dobó and his defenders, his soldiers in the castle. 1552 is this very, very notable date in Hungarian history, if you want. So they basically came up not so long ago, half a year ago, the people of Eger, of the wine district, Eger itself, which is in the northeastern part of Hungary, kind of roughly 1.5 hour drive from Budapest to the east, you know, be tucked between two other wine districts, Matra and Bükk, along the way. Very interesting, very, very particular wine district. For the bigger wine district, with a kind of a cool climate, we have the highest vineyards in Hungary, Nagyeged, very particular, very special Grand Cru site over there, over 500 meters in terms of elevation. And it's usually a very cool area, fairly cool climate within Hungary. So this kind of makes you think that the wine's going to have high acidity, fresh acidity, brisk acidity, the whites and the reds as well. And again, you know, reds came just much later than the whites. I mean, this is the fact. So the legend says many things, and of course the bottle 1552 is also written this very particular date, but the story of Bicorvea, you know, embedded in today's history, it's a blend of several different varieties. There is a very strong legislation which governs how you're supposed to make Bicorvea, embedded in the product specifications of AGER-PDO. And there are three levels, basically. The lowest one, if you want, is the classicus level, the one above, superior, and the very top, grand superior. There are a couple of rules. I mean, I always have to kind of look up those different things, but out of the top of my head, the classicus Bicovere, as far as I remember, has to spend only 6 months in barrel, and the superior and grand superior 12 months in barrel, so there's more barrel aging obviously involved, and there are other varieties which you cannot use necessarily in the same quantity as in terms of the superior and grand superior. But the rule of the thumb is that you have to use the local grape variety Cake Frankos very much. I mean, this is the most planted Hungarian variety as well. And you have to use also to a certain amount of Kodarka, I believe, as well. But the law says, you know, just to be right on that, the Cake Frankos in the blend must be between 30 up to 65% as well. Forget about the Kodarka, this was just my mistake. I always mixed it up. So the basic rule of Bicovere says that it has to be a blend, and Cake Frankos, the leading variety, has to be between 30 and 65% of the blend. But going back to this, these lovely fellows here again, you know, I just received this parcel a few weeks ago. And this bottle shape is very new. I kind of love the design. I mean, it looks very handsome in a way. It does have a certain message. It does carry a certain message along the way. Let's just check out the wines in no particular order. I poured them, those six wines, and I'm curious if we're going to find anything which kind of is a common thing. Because what's for me, it's important when we talk about wine style that there should be a common denominator, right? I mean, if you talk about Bicovere, it should be first of all red, right? I mean, just in the brackets, there's also white style of blend, which is called Egrecsillag, named after Géza Gárdonyi's novel, Egrecsillagok, which actually talks about the battle 1552 against the Ottoman. One of the first novels which I read, and I loved the movie as well. Actually, it was really cool. It was a great movie, kind of those old Hungarian movies which I really liked as a child. I mean, and novel as well. I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't read much of those novels back in my school days. But Géza Gárdonyi Egrecsillagok, which translates as the stars, which is in the sky, those stars, the stars of Eger, and they have the white blend. It's kind of the brother or the sister of the Bicovere. It's called Egrecsillag, the white version of it. But total different story. Going back to Egrebicovere, Egrebicovere has to be a red wine, has to be a blend, and Cake Frankos has to be in it. And these guys from the Egrebormühlen, those who said, we want to bottle our Egrebicovere in this particular shape of bottle, they also went beyond the product description which is embedded by law in the AGER-PDO for Bicovere. So they went a little bit more tighter on that. And they said that only the superior, only the grand superior, these are the two ones which they are allowed to be bottled in this particular style of shape bottle. And Classicus may be bottled if it fits a certain requirements along the line. It has to be tested by a local winemaking community, those guys who are obviously, they're very proud of their product, so they want to have an organoleptic tasting as well. And the law says it has to have a minimum of 13% of ABV, of alcohol by volume, 13%. Kind of a law. Obviously, they want to be more strict, so the reason why I'm saying this with pressure is that the general Bicoveres can be much lower in alcohol, right? I mean, 13% is the minimum to be bottled in this particular shape. So they're trying to guarantee a more rigid style when it comes to quality as well, you know, just by checking organoleptic tasting as well as more ripeness, 13 ABV as such. And there's all kind of things, you know, which is say, two-thirds of the tasting committee has to say yes out of minimum five judges. Of course, it's an independent judgment, so it's a kind of a blind tasting. And they also pay a kind of marketing fee per bottle. So all those different things kind of help to promote the Bicovaire, the high quality of the Bicovaire. And I think this is something great. I mean, you look at the bottle, you instantly see, okay, great. It says Egger 1552, the most notable story. And there is a lot of things put behind it as well, right? I mean, this is one of the key things. So let's taste those wines in no particular order. The first one is from Boyki. I love the labels. Boyki always has great labels. And when you kind of smell them again, no particular order, you kind of got a lot of spiciness, jam, strawberry, raspberry, kind of sweet fruit. But there's always this kind of coolness in the nose. Very fresh acidity, bright, crisp. Obviously, they have to be all dry in the style. Very fruit-driven, lovely spiciness, very round, very delicate. Yeah, you kind of get the sense, you know, this is a very good above everyday drinking wine. But this should be the Bicovaire, actually, right? I mean, it should be all about everyday drinking wine with a kind of spiciness, with a kind of green herbal touch as well. So the next in the line is from Tod Ferenc, Varvé de Aigre Bicovaire Supérieur 2018. Forgot to mention, Boyko was 2018 as well. A rather challenging year overall. Now from Tod Ferenc you get a lot of spice, bramble, kind of herbal, and there's definitely this kind of red fruit character. This is kind of the cherry, strawberry maybe a little bit of cranberry, but a kind of red sour fruit kind of thing going on. Very lush, very supple in the nose, on the palate. Got this kind of little bit of sweetness. And when I looked at the labels, I mean, all of them had at least 13, but most of them had rather 14 ABV, and this fella has at least 15 ABV, which is kind of really rich and full-bodied. You get a lot of spiciness, richness, herbal character, but there's a lot of the kind of sweet fruit coming through the higher alcohol. So there's definitely that kind of ripeness attached to it. I think it's a great example of that. I also got some notes on some of the wines, just to I just also got some notes on some of the wines. I mean, This is Cake Francos Cabernet Franc Cabernet Sauvignon Merlot. 2 years in Hungarian big oak barrels, basically. And yeah, 14.78, exactly the ABV, and 5.2 the acidity. Yeah, good stuff. Moving on with wine number three, Warshiny Aigre Bicovaire Supérieur Grand Selection, says the label, 2018, the vintage from the Warshiny winery. And again, there's a lot of sweet food. I almost got a little bit of kind of warm confected note as well, a lot of kind of bramble, but there's a bit of perfume as well. There's a bit of floral character, which you not often get in red wines, I guess. You know, some red grape varieties do this kind of perfuminess as well. I'm thinking about Pinot Noir, Sangiovese sometimes, Nebbiolo definitely. But Cake Francoche and some of the local varieties may add to this kind of perfumey note as well along the line. And this was a blend of Cake Francoche, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Blauburger. Blauburger, that's for me that kind of little bit of floral touch as well. Not just adding color, but also that kind of floral note as well. And the palate copies the nose, one and one. And you get a kind of sweet, supple fruit, softness, green herbal spiciness, very lush, very round. I wonder if there's a little bit of sweetness there. I mean, you know, obviously this is dry, but just 1-2 grams of sugar? I don't know. But end of the day, who cares? It just makes it really round, very supple. You can drink it very nicely. It's very soft and smooth to drink. I mean, you get 2018 was a challenging vintage. I mean, it was bottled 2020 in September, actually, into that particular bottle. So this is happening since quite some years now. More than a year. This is a project. It's a recent project, but it's in the making. So it's a 1 year old project, if you want. Going along with wine number four. This is Agribicover Superior 2017 from the local university, Esterházy Károly. They are very much involved in education, teaching a lot about wine as well. And that's their wine from the Esterházy University. And I have to check on the label as well, actually, on the notes, but I assume there's a little bit of Blauburger as well. Let me just double check. And I didn't really look at it, but I get similar kind of parfumy blueberry, slightly in a positive way, this kind of sweet fruit confected note as well. I mean, again, in a positive way, that kind of sweet spice. And instantly you have in the sweet spice, you get a kind of cool herbal quality as well. So let me just double check if they have also a bit of Blauburger as well. No, actually they don't, fun enough. So that's my mistake. Kefangoshmelo, Syrah, Cabernet Sauvignon. As such, 24 months in oak, in Hungarian oak, of 225 and 500 liter of Hungarian wood. I would have guessed that there's a bit of Blauburger as well. Love the kind of softness, smoothness, very bright, very fresh. There's a good amount of oak. I noted that on the nose. But I think overall, it works for the wine. I mean, it's just round. It has that kind of sweet fruit, softness, plushness, I would say. So this is, it still has a freshness. I mean, it has the kind of vibrancy. And all of them had this vibrancy. I mean, again, Egger, for me, stands out with that kind of freshness, that kind of herbal note as well. I mean, Kefranco does really well. Some of the Pinot Noirs do fairly well in the area. And again, Bicabe, I think it's definitely, despite being 13, 14, or even 15 ABV, you get this kind of sweet spiciness and the freshness all along with a kind of green herbal spice as well. I think it's a mixture of those things along. So, again, number five, from the Juhász Brothers, Juhász Winery, Agribicover Premium Selection, it says, and it's vintage 2018. Vintage 2018, I have in the glass, and let me just check. Here you get a little bit more the kind of black fruit. I would assume that the cuvée has a little bit more Cabernet Sauvignon. I mean, you know that all of them have obviously Cake Francoche, and then the classical varieties of Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc. The last one even had Syrah. We have a bit of Blauburger as well, and one of the earlier blends. And again, here as well, you get a lot of kind of red fruit, but I get a bit of feeling of the black fruit character as well, kind of black currant, the herbal note as well. Some of the wines is worth the decant as well. I mean, along the way, if you go, it's interesting. Let me just check. I did smell the wines. I haven't tasted them before, but I wrote a couple of notes there. Warms, green spice, herbal. And there's a little bit of greenness as well on the wine, but in a positive way. It lifts the aromas. There's more weight. There's more spice. There's a little bit more green herbal character as well again on the palate. It seems a bit more broader in texture. But overall, again, the freshness and the kind of linear style. None of the wines had this kind of really brightness. They all were going a little bit more in one line. That kind of sweet spiciness is there. But it's more about the green spice, I would assume, than the sweet spice. So it's more that kind of herbal character which comes back and back again. That kind of spiciness. I wouldn't necessarily say paprika, you know, which is kind of a main ingredient in often Hungarian cuisine still. But that kind of slightly, in a positive way, that kind of pungency, in a good way, those things are there. So this is Cake Franco-Schmerlo, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon. And yeah, the thing is, what happened is they had 18 months in big barrels for the Cake Francoche, and the international varieties, they went into small barrels. So that's perhaps that they were giving a little bit more depth, bit more concentration. And for me, this is a slightly different style. They're similar to the other ones. I mean, obviously, they're not all drawn with the same pencil, but they pretty much have the same graphite character, so, you know, like age, hard, something like that. But the wine has a really good drinkability, soft and smooth on the palate, but instantly a kind of green, kind of oregano and basil, a kind of green spiciness, and maybe some some green spiciness is coming out. I like that. And it has a kind of little bit of pepperiness, which I didn't get in one of the Syrahs, but I get this kind of green stalky pepperiness, which again lifts the wine. I really like that in this wine. And it has quite a good grip, with a little bit more black fruit character. Last but not least, from Gael Tibor Winery. I always love the label, a really kind of cool label, and it looks just gorgeous on this kind of bottle as well, very, very sophisticated in a way. Gael Tibor Agribico Vert Supérieur from the vintage 2018. Let's check this fellow out as well, the last on the line. Again, we're coming back to the kind of cherry, slightly dusty, red berry, maybe some cranberry. And again, there's a bit of floral tone there. I really think that Cake Francoche provides a bit of floral, slightly parfumy tone as well, with a kind of spiciness. You know, the nose of the wines, when you smell them, the aromas, they're not elevated. They're a little bit more shy, they're moderate in a way. I mean, they're a little bit more restrained, I would call them. But that's okay. I mean, that's fine. On the palate, you get this little sweet attack at the beginning. I love that. Kind of sweet of the fruit right up front. And you get this kind of crunchiness. Really kind of bright, crunchy. Like you're biting in a fresh red fruit, and the acidity pops, but you have the sweetness there as well. It's kind of really round. And it's quite a long finish, actually. So, with depth, and you get this bit of spicy peppery that's all the way along. Let's just check if I have any notes on the Gael Tibor as well. So, Cake Franco, Skodorko. There you go. Maybe this gives an additional spiciness. I love a bit of Skodorko sometimes. Syrah, Merlot, Cab Sauv, Cabernet Franc, and even Pinot Noir. It's quite a complex blend, if you wish. 12 months in 5 hectoliter Hungarian oak, and 15% of this was actually new. And it has a kind of spice and pepperiness. So just to summarize, you know, Agribico Vert with the new bottle, the new shape. I'm really looking forward to see those more on the shelf and also with the customers, because I think it's a handsome bottle. It reflects the history of the town. It states the denomination Eger, where it's coming from. It states one of the most important historical dates in Hungarian history, not just in Eger's history, but also in Hungary as well, 1552. Lots of legends, lots of stories as well behind that significant historical date. We have a gorgeous red wine in a blend, led by the most planted variety in Hungary, Cake Francoche, with some other varieties, where you see lots of people put in some other stuff like Blauburger, even Syrah and Pinot Noir, Kodorka, you see, Cab Sauv, Merlot, and all those things as well. So there's always a few rules which they have to follow, of course. And in this particular bottle size and shape, this is going to be really exciting to see that they're aiming for high quality. To put maybe back, and I think this is one of the main aims, to put the name Bikavia back on the market as being one of the most fascinating and interesting red wines, red cuvées, red blends, and in this case, Eger, coming from Eger, of course, with this particular bottle shape and size, with those things. So, yeah. I think this is interesting. I'm really excited, and I'm really happy for those guys, you know. And obviously, I wish them best of luck, and I will keep following them. You should follow them too. What happens with Eger Bikavia in this particular shape and size? And I think the wines overall, if I have to find a common denominator, you know, in terms of typicity and style, obviously color, red, sure, that's important. The nose had for me mostly red fruit. It was restrained. It had a bit of coolness, spiciness, green spice, bit of sweet spice from the oak, of course. And then the palate, obviously dry, obviously fresh acidity, not too high in the tannin. Despite being a lot of international varieties, you know, Cab Sav, Franc, and even Syrah sometimes, you know, adding more weight and tannins, they didn't have that much tannin. It was just more supple and gentle. Cape Francoche leading with a kind of red berry, spicy tone all along the way, and the kind of medium bodied, medium weight, medium fresh, medium plus fresh acidity maybe. The tannins a bit more soft and moderate, and then you get a combination of sweet fruit plus the green spicy, red spicy notes along the way. I think this is one of the hallmarks of Bikavia. Bikavia should be in a way very typical of Cape Francoche plus the other varieties, and coming to a completion with the soil of Eger, which has a lot of volcanic stones as well, really fascinating. I didn't talk about that, but it's maybe a different topic. I'll talk about the wine district of Eger, the cooler temperatures, right? I mean, you know, providing the freshness, the higher acidity, and all those things. I mean, end of the day, it's basically nature plus human equals the wine. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining. Until next time. See you then. Aigre Bicover.